This is The Positive Mime with Armand DeMille here on WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And now, Armand DeMille.
Hey there, everybody, and Julian, welcome with us. Julian, today it's Julian and I, and this, therefore, we could focus on some stuff that I would love to focus on, which is about theater and acting, and about drama in life. Because we all present life as a drama. One wonders, what would life be like if it were not dramatic? If you're a dog and you're walking around the earth, you know, you follow your nose, you look for food, you look for mates, that's it, and life is about mating and fooding and going to sleep. Nice and simple. Do you consider to yourself as a dog, where am I going to get my bone tomorrow? And should I bury a bone today? Well, that's a pretty complex dog. And what about for my future girlfriend? Is she going to need a bone? I'm going to have to bury a bone for her too, because, you know, and then you start getting complicated. Well, where do you think it would be best to bury the bones? Do you think it would be better to bury where there are less mice? And you start thinking and planning. Humans do that. Most animals don't do that, but they consider it. When a plant is growing, it considers, where shall I grow my tree? Will I be where there is a certain amount of shade, where there will be a certain amount of nutrients? So we seem to have planning ahead. Now, what about regrets? Do some of us have regrets about the past? Oh, you know, I planted my tree in the wrong place. Now I wish I could move it. I don't think trees think that way. I don't think a tree that was a seed said, you know, I could have rolled over a little to the right and then I would have had better shade. I don't think they live in regrets as humans do. See, humans seem to have regrets and they have desires and they have thoughts and they have wishes and they are very complex and therefore they tend to dramatize. A good friend of mine, Jeff Kitchen, who is a world-class screenwriter, used to teach me about screenwriting. And he said, you know, he said, the thing that practically all screenwriters are aware of is this one book by Pulte, P-O-L-T-I, called 36 Dramatic Situations. And he told me that these were 36 dramatic situations, mostly selected from Shakespeare's plays. He said almost everything in life can be broken down to one of 36 dramatic situations. And though no matter what you present, you cannot present a variation on those 36. It's like going to the best doctor you could imagine. You know, you go to a doctor and you say, doctor says, what's wrong with you? Like, I have a good friend, Jonathan Raskin. He's a general practitioner. I said, Jonathan, I got a pain in my stomach. And he looks at it and he asks a question, asks another question, asks another question, asks another question. Then he pushes, then he prods, then he asks another question. Then he asks another question, then another question. And he says, I know exactly what that is. And somehow or other he took care of it because he knew exactly what it was. That's really nice. So I had the dramatic situation and he had the answer to the dramatic situation. Well, how many dramatic situations are there that you have, and are there answers for them? So many people come to me for answers to their dramatic situations, and after a number of years and having heard a number of different things, I could find solutions or doorways to most situations, which is what you like. Part of what you like is our podcasts and listening to the programs that we do. In fact, we just got a letter from Mexico.
Yes, we did. This is from Mexico.
Hey, and I want to say welcome, shout out to this crew in Mexico who seems to listen at the club.
Yes.
Are they in what town? Santeray?
Monterrey.
Monterrey,
Mexico. Yeah. Dear Armand, I have been listening to your podcast for 1 week, and I have to say I'm totally engrossed with your program. While I'm writing for the next. The other day when I heard your program and you guys were talking about relationships and being alone, I thought about myself. I'm a 25-year-old girl, beautiful, friendly, and smart lady who has been single for 5 years, and it starts to feel weird. I have an amazing relationship with my parents. I went on with therapy to try to improve my relationship with them when I was 20. I lived for a year and a half in Seattle, where I learned English, and I just came back to Mexico. Now I feel like I belong to nowhere. I had a bad relationship with a guy for 1 year, and I stopped talking to him, and now I am really afraid of falling in love again. Anyhow, I know everything else is going to be all right. I mean, since I'm unemployed and I feel really weird back in Mexico, I would just like to hear some advice. I wouldn't like to end up alone in my life, and I have a lot of love to share with someone else. My Mexican friends and I love your radio station. Love, Mexico.
212-957-2729 is our number today. We will be taking calls. But how many different situations did you hear? Lost, right? Abandoned, first of all, estranged from family is in there somewhere, right? What other things did you hear? What did you hear, Julian? What other elements? Estranged from your own identification with your townspeople. You went to Seattle to learn English.
Right. There was the loss of a loved one, which is one of the dramatic situations
right,
we have.
Right. Loss of a loved one, which is a very dramatic.
Yes. Yeah, the loss of the loved one is definitely one of the bigger ones there.
And it's confusion. It's a young person confused. What is life? What is love? Where am I going to be? What's it going to be like? See, and that's what we see. Now, that's a dramatic moment in life. You believe that moment. You believe this is really important.
Yeah, and then also she was sort of by this reaching out with this letter for deliverance, which is another dramatic situation we have, is sort of like a rescuing. And asking for that.
And asking, would you, Armand, please help me
yeah.
not feel what I'm feeling? Now, the thing about a dramatic situation is a dramatic situation puts you in a place where you don't like what you feel. If you are feeling angry, you don't like being angry. If you feel sad, you don't like feeling sad. So it's asking you, the dramatic situation is asking for resolve because it is saying to you, I do not like what I feel in this situation. I am angry. What am I going to do about it? I feel, let me read you some of the 36 situations. Number one is supplication. Supplication, probably the first one, that's where you ask for help. Supplication, I'm on my knees. You know, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when there's supplication, there are three characters involved.
Yeah, a supplicant, a persecutor, and a power in authority whose decision is often doubtful. So there's this person who's asking for help, the person who's persecuting them, and then sort of this power above them who's making this wrong decision. So you kind of see this whole idea happening in that situation, and that's what makes it dramatic.
All right, now the next one is deliverance.
Yeah, so this is all about being rescued. So there's an unfortunate person, there's a threatening person, and then there's the rescuing person. So, you know, kind of like we were just talking about with this letter here, there's someone who's unfortunate. They're in a place where they don't feel safe or they don't feel something's gone wrong. And there's somebody who's threatening them, their life, their livelihood, whatever is happening that they care about. And then a rescuer, which represents the person who comes in and kind of saves the day. The Superman to the Lois Lane, you know?
Yep, and looking for that. There must be, you must save me. You must possibly save me. Now, back in the time of Shakespeare, a lot of times you had no idea who your relatives were. For example, you could fall in love with a kin. You could fall in love with a brother or sister and not know it. Because you were separated somewhere, and so you find one of the dramatic situations is finding yourself connected to or in love with one of your kin is a dramatic situation. But more often than that, you had lots of loved ones, and the death and grief and remorse. In your life, what kind of dramatic situations seem to repeat themselves? 212-957-2729. If you help me look with you at the nature of the dramatic situation, I might help you get to the essence of the drama. 212-957-2729.
Right, moving on, there's falling prey to cruelty or misfortune. So this is kind of the idea of losing innocence. There's an unfortunate person, and then a master or a misfortunate person. So these are often where there are innocent people and they're harmed in, or they feel that they're innocent and they're changed forevermore after that because they've lost their innocence.
And they've lost their innocence too. The other is, it becomes at one point an enigma. The enigma is the situation in which it's just a pure confusion. You can't go one way, you can't go the other way. It's a conundrum. You know? Let's take a look at some of these today. Hey, we've got Dennis on the line of all things. Hello, Dennis. This is Armand DeMille.
Good afternoon, Armand.
Hello, Dennis.
So, where should we start?
Dennis, what is the drama of your life, if you were to think about it right now?
Okay, the father, tyrant. The brother, pitiful, you know, needs the rescuing. And
okay, wait, back that up for me.
Family, I think.
The father tyrant, meaning that you have a father who's a tyrant?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a father who's a tyrant. You're a man calling me, saying, yeah. You know, Armand, I got a father who's a real bum. The guy he's not nice to me. I need his love and I can't get it.
Well, he thinks he's nice to me because it's his way.
That's not what I'm saying. You're saying to me he's not nice to you.
Right.
He doesn't give you what you need.
Right, the respect.
And you can't seem to get what you want from him, and that's the problem. The problem is struggling to get what he wants, get his kind of respect. Now, in this effort of you to get it, do you try to get it his way, or do you try to get it your own way? Like, does he want you to be a politician and you want to become a musician?
Right, he wants me to be a proper religious, you know, prototype and doing my church. And he also has racist tendencies towards everybody that doesn't believe his way. He's just been in the military and has some addictions. The whole family's been plagued with alcohol.
No, I understand. He's a perfectionist. Your father has...
Yeah.
He's a classic perfectionist. I know exactly what he's like. He preaches.
Yeah.
He does things. Let me ask you something about your dad. What do you know about your dad sexually that's odd?
Well, I think the secrecy, now I'm in my 40s and he's in his 70s, and I look back at things I've seen and heard, and, you know, nothing abusive or graphic, but he's like maybe a cuck, because they watch like that wrestling on TV, and it's all perverted sexually, like the WWF.
So you have a kind of a feeling that somewhere in there's some kind of latent homosexuality on your dad's part that he's not admitting to.
Well,
not that he would ever hear this radio.
I would not expect that, but I don't know. You're the boss of that.
Well, you know, the reason I picked that up is I picked that up when you started talking to me on the air about having a father who's alienated, who happens to be a perfectionist, and perfectionistic men tend to have some aberrant sexuality. It doesn't necessarily, homosexuality doesn't have to be aberrant,
right,
but it has to be something that they would hide, you know? And now this, if he has this feeling towards men, which is both a love-hate relationship with his own masculine femininity with men, how does he treat you? How does he treat you? How does he embrace you? Where you just want to be, what?
That's right. Well, until I was a man and moved out, he would always try to control me through his influences of shame or guilt. I even got a guilt letter for not doing the proper things on Christmas.
Wow.
And I'm 48 years old. And I've had therapy and I've been around the block. And I'm in conscious relationship with my partner now, female. And
gee, Dennis. So, Dennis, it must hurt a lot to live this way. It's like living with a vacuum. It's like living with an empty hole, you know?
Yes, without an emotionally available family, which I find out in the world in my line of work, and I'm lucky enough to have a lot of close people in my life now.
You know, Dennis, I just put back online on our archives, I put on the men's series, which is something that we held aside because we were offering it at WBAI. Yeah. It's a 9-series program that is meant for you.
Yeah.
It's right. Meant to heal the very, very spot that you feel the wound.
Yeah, like needing to rescue my brother, my mother, I need to rescue.
That's because you've become your father.
Yeah, I know.
And
sugar. Yeah. So, and that's okay, but how should I feel better about it? Is it okay to, that I became my father?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not became, it's not okay that you became your father because you didn't.
Okay.
It's not okay that you believe you should somehow compensate for what he's missing.
Okay.
No, the person who needs the love from your father is still you.
Okay.
And I want to see how I can get you, Dennis, right this minute, to address little Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
And say to him, I'm going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
Not him.
Right. I'm going to love my little Dennis a little more.
I'm going to love you, not him. I want you to say those words, and I want you to say it from the inside of you. I'm going to love you.
I'm going to love you.
He's not.
When he's not. Okay, I'm going to love you when he's not.
And when you say that, Dennis, what happens to the inside of you?
Right now, I'm, okay. I just, it's a new territory, so I'm okay now. I'm healed, but...
Okay, now, if Dennis, if you were to step down
mm-hmm.
from being as good a guy as you are right now, which is a realistic brother, you're like somebody who's right on my side and we're together there, right?
Okay.
If you were to surrender for a moment
yeah.
and drop down just one level
uh-huh.
where you could feel that one tear that's been sitting inside there, that represents this ache that you've lived with. How far removed are you from that tear?
I am able to do that. Not, I don't think now because my feelings of being listened to on the air.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait. This is very important. So this moment, we are doing something curative. See, one of the things we say to ourselves and very often is, I could feel it, but I can't afford to feel it now.
Right.
What I want you to do instead is to see what happens if you say to yourself, I forgot what I could say to myself. If you could say to yourself, I am, I can do this and I could reach for it now.
I can do this.
And I could reach for that to you now.
Yeah.
Go there.
I actually can't do it.
Go there. Go there. Go there. Say, I will go there.
I will go there.
I will go there, right, and just surrender. The tear is the sweat of your heart. The tear is you absolutely are saying, you know, I lost it. I didn't have it when I was a kid. What a pity. And I could weep for this child in me that never had what it needed.
Yeah, I have to work on that. I will work on that. I can't access that anymore.
Of course.
Maybe
so. So this thing, this thing of being able to access that when it happens, very, very important. It really
yeah.
puts you in touch with the training ground, because right. then you don't have the separation anymore.
Good.
I love that you're so brave, Dennis. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, sir. It's no coincidences, and that's, life is better that way.
Nice to talk to you.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Bye.
212-957-2729. So very often, we find ourselves caught up in a dramatic situation. Like, we find out that we have conflict with a god, or we have a mistaken jealousy, or an erroneous judgment, the recovery of a lost one, the slaying of somebody, fatal imprudence. Fatal imprudence, what an interesting word. Madness. You could have any of these things going on at any given moment. And the secret is, what would happen if you dipped down to that one big tear and you let the tear happen instead? My bet is most of life's dramatic situations are based on an avoidance of a tear. How do you like that? In fact, what an interesting expression. Yeah, did you hear what happened to Tony? Yeah, he's on a tear. Could be a T-E-A-R. Let's say hello to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I love your show. Great show. I find that not necessarily a specific dramatic experience, but I tend to be in abusive relationships and attract people who are abusive to me, and that just keeps happening over and over again, or people take advantage of me, and I can't seem to have enough self-respect to not allow certain things, you know, to happen, or, you know, and I don't know, it's been, you know, since I was little, my family was dysfunctional, and I try to save everyone and stop the fighting and be the protector and be the good little girl and the people pleaser, you know, and then as I got older, all that insanity growing up, it just seemed acceptable. And then I married someone who was abusive, and I thought I could fix them.
Well, let's look at it another way, Lisa.
I do that all the time.
Lisa, let's look at it another way. Maybe this is a smart thing for you to do. You see, if you've been wounded, as you've been wounded as a child, and you decided, I'm not going to let them get me anymore, I'm going to get them. I'll take care of them. I'll control them. I'll control their feelings. I'll feed them. I'll pay attention to them. I'm going to control them. Then Lisa, who seems like she seems to be so at the mercy of other people, is really in control of everybody. Now, this is not a bad strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you
this
can't
is a power strategy.
People.
But that's the idea.
That's the frustrating part. But
the idea is to spend your life imagining that you could. This
right.
burns up all your energy, because what's missing? The thing that's missing is the same thing that was missing for Dennis. It's either this or you cry. And when you're ready to let the tears flow, really flow freely, when you're ready to let them pass by, when you're ready to let the wounds from the past leave your body, then you won't need the dramatic situations anymore. But right now, you're still doing it because you're not ready to let it go.
Yeah.
And this will happen, Lisa. This is your power. It's not your weakness. Your power is to hold on, stay isolated, make sure nobody trusts you, make sure you trust nobody. You know, keep trying to get them to be happy, get them to be happy, get them to be happy, and then eventually you will say, who needs them? Who needs them anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a tough situation because I have, you know, it's toxic people all around, like my children, my mom, you know, people who I have to cope with on a daily basis. So
But these are the people that you'll choose.
I hope I get to that point.
But these are the people you'll choose for the time being. You see, you'll choose these people who you call toxic people because they're in the same game. They got together. They have a club. Let's play the toxic game. I won't cry if you won't cry if you won't cry about anything sincere. We'll just make believe we're in this conflict, and we'll have conflict after conflict after conflict. We'll talk about jealousy, right? We'll get in there, and we're going to start saying, oh, you know, did you see this? Did you see that? Well, he did this. He did that. Oh, he did this. And jealousy becomes one of the big items of someone's life, and they
right.
focus on jealousy. Jealousy doesn't really exist. What is it? What is that thing? You know, jealousy or envy or greed or stuff like that, these don't exist. These only exist because you're a person is afraid of recognizing what they have and what they don't have, and they feel deficient. They feel they're not going to be loved if they don't have everything. But you're a powerhouse. Look at you. You control so many people. You really do. You have so many people in control, and you have control over your house. You have control over the sadness. You have this group of people who are acting back and forth with you. You're going to change it when you want to change it, Lisa. When's the last time you bought flowers for your house?
Never.
Thank you. When's the last time?
I don't remember. Not really.
Can you imagine, Lisa,
yeah,
why you have not bought flowers for your house?
I don't know.
Okay, do you imagine that there's another human who listens to WBAI who's never bought flowers for their house?
Maybe.
No, there's not.
No.
No, there's not. I promise there's not. Therefore, you have the unique power of being the one who did not buy the flowers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's pretty powerful, Lisa. You held out. Now imagine today if you decided to take this power on differently and said, I'm going to go bring a flower in the house.
Right.
What would that mean to you?
Well, it would be doing something for me, making my own decision for my own happiness.
Or do it for me.
Me.
Do it for me so that the radio comes into a nicer room.
Right.
You don't have to do it for yourself. Just say, I think I'm going to make this a better place for Armand to come into tomorrow. I'll put a flower in the room.
Right.
And through that, you could do it for yourself. We get wrapped up in crazy things, and there are simple things that are so easy, easy, easy to fix.
Yeah, well, I like what you said before to that other gentleman who you told him to speak to the little boy inside of him.
That's right.
Because that makes a lot of sense, you know.
Yeah, little Dennis and little Lisa are crawling, are going through the crawl space, trying to find each other right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can meet at the flower stand.
Yeah, I just don't want to have this role anymore. I just want to be my own person. I just want to be left alone.
Well, we know an answer today.
I just want to live my life.
We know an answer today, right?
Yeah.
Go get it. Go get it.
Go buy a flower.
Go buy a flower or a bunch of flowers. Bring it in your house and give me a call tomorrow when I'm on the air.
All right, Armand.
I want to hear from you tomorrow. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Take care.
This is Armand DeMille with Julian Joiello. We're talking about dramatic situations that people put in their lives and the way that they experience different dramas. Many of the dramas that people have to do with erroneous judgments that you may have made, a mistaking, a conflict with a god, an enemy that we once loved, involuntary crimes of love, slaying of kin unrecognized. And then there's that one that keeps coming back over and over again that people have written to us about. The most confusing of all, which has to do with jealousy. Jealousy just appears and it occupies and it takes over everything. It's a hell of a thing. We're going to be taking a short break. And when we come back from our break, we'll take more of your calls at 212-957-2729. And then we will be, and we're going to play some music in between. I have two pieces of music for you. One is a very short piece because it'll bring back some memories. And the second one is just an exquisite little choice that we decided to choose for you today. Be back in a couple of minutes, my friends. Thank you.
Listening to Concerto de Araigné by Jim Hall from the album Concerto.
It's a beautiful piece. I was listening to this the other morning. I woke up and I sent it to all my friends. And I said, come on, Sunrise and Concerto de Araigné by Jim Hall. It was on Spotify. I was able to get it. And just beautiful, exquisite. Watched Jim Hall a few times. He's an exquisite player. He's magnificent, his sense of timing. I appreciate it so much, because let's talk about the dramas in my life. This is my drama. Listening, hearing, moving with, dancing with. That's about as much drama as I want in my life. A lot of stuff comes to me. You can imagine, I'm like the Godfather. I'm like, you know, people come to me and say, hey, Don Armando, I got on my mind is that they're doing something funny. Can I get him to? And they sit with me and they talk to me. I actually did have an incident once. Because part of my family comes from Sicily, I once had a man who came to me for a consultation. He was a known killer. And he was going to tell me something about how he couldn't sleep. I know he was asked, and they sent him to me because I could be trusted. And I knew I did not want to hear his telling me that he kills people and therefore he can't sleep. I know I didn't want to hear this. Once I heard that, I know I was going to be privy to a certain amount of information. So he came to me and he said, you know, Armando, I'm told to talk to you. I can't sleep. And before he said a word, I said, well, you need a real doctor for that. You know, you need somebody who can give you medication for that, because that's the only thing that's going to work if you can't sleep, if you do what you do for a living. I says, let's not let me in on no information. I ran out of there real quick. My most cowardly act of mental health. Luckily, he was arrested and put away for a long period of time. The telephone number here is 212-957-2729. We have on the line with us Beverly. Hi, Beverly. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good. So I'm sitting here and working and seeing what my core issue is. And I believe it's trusting and feeling safe with people, safe that they will care or take care of my feelings. There's only one person I ever felt completely safe with, that I felt accepted me completely for who I am, was my grandma, my grandmother. So.
Sure, that's the beauty of a grandmother. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
What was your what did you call your grandmother?
Grandma Jessie.
Jessie, yeah. She died when?
She died when I was 21, which was a while back. I was in college and far away. And my family didn't even tell me she had passed away until after the funeral because they didn't want me to spend the money on an airplane ticket to come home.
Yeah, I understand. So Beverly, as of now, you miss your grandmother and you trust nobody because even your family wasn't in your best interest at that time. What are we going to do about this? You're alone in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have tears. I love animals. Just this morning, I fed the morning doves, and then a squirrel came, and the doves, not the doves, I forget what you call them, the pigeons came. So, right.
And you could love all of them, and there's a part of you, but there's a part of you that's not looking to love. There's a part of you that's looking to be loved.
Yes.
And not by pigeons.
Right, because I could take care of people and things very, very well.
I see. So nobody takes care of you. When's the last time you had somebody who you spoke to that you really trusted? I mean, why have I never met you? I don't know your name.
Yeah, I mean, this morning I spoke to...
Beverly, how come I don't know you?
How come you do know me?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought, for sure.
You do know me, yeah.
What do you need?
I need to feel safe and to be loved and to feel that I'm in a partnership with, you know, another loving soul that honors me as I would honor them, that loves the same, just to feel safe, just to be
I know. It's hard,
who I am.
You could feel that, can't you? You could feel your desire to go there, and I could hear it. It's palpable in you.
Yes.
Now, what do you need to do to make the breakthrough that allows that to happen? What do you know you need to do? Not dependent on anybody else. What do you need to do with me right this minute that would make that different?
Just to be completely that person that I'm wanting to attract into my life. Be honest and real and loving and in the moment with them.
So you have to be that person. And what would make you be the person who's real right this minute with me? Right here, right now.
I believe I am that person.
What part are you holding back? Why didn't you let me know that you had spoken to me before? You see what I mean? See all these hesitations?
Yeah. I guess it's, again, the not trusting piece of me.
Yeah. So how can you reduce it? How can you let it open? Or can you just decide, I won't trust, and that's it. I'm going to go in just so far, and that's enough. mm-hmm. and stated, because the other way makes it look like you're going in all the way, but you're not. You got your foot outside the door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How far is the tear away from your door?
The tears are here right now.
Yeah. And behind those tears, you are saying, I love?
Mm-hmm.
Say those words.
I love.
Yeah. Say that again, I love.
I love.
Yeah. Now here she comes. If you would, lower it just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I love.
Do it with a deep breath.
I love.
Keep going.
I love.
Once more, and this time, you're going to add the word me.
I love me.
Let yourself break. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
I love me.
Wow.
I am worthy of being loved.
Oh, don't get too complex. Don't get complicated.
I love me.
Watch this one, Beverly. You ready? You want to take this mm-hmm. big risk? Try even, I love you, Armand.
I love you, Armand.
Hold in there. Hang in there. You're safe. Do it again.
I love you, Armand.
I love you, Beverly. Let's hold this moment, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, Beverly, thank you for a very, very, very courageous journey on your part.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Armand.
You've changed your life.
Yeah. And I love you, Armand.
You have any flowers in your house?
Plants. I like plants.
You like what?
Plants.
Plants. Good. What kind of plants do you have there today?
Let's see. I have a peace plant.
Mm-hmm.
Two-piece plant.
Did you ever read Hot House Flower?
Say again?
Did you ever read the book Hot House Flower?
No.
Okay, there's a book that was written called Hot House Flower by Margot Berwin, B-E-R-W-I-N. Margot was a patient of mine who, in mm-hmm. working with me over the years, wrote a book. And wrote the book about our treatment metaphorically in the form of flowers and plants. And a trip through Mexico. I think you would love this book.
Okay, I will get it today.
Hot House Flowers, Margot Berwin. Speak to you
Thank
again.
You.
My pleasure. What a nice journey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-957-2729. I'm sorry, sir. You know, sometimes, friends, it's all about timing. And sometimes, you know, you just can't rush it. Just can't rush it. It's like opening a door, you know. If you hit these big, heavy doors, sometimes you try to get through them when they're not open wide enough, you get crushed by them. This is one of those moments when two people, both of us, were pulling against this heavy door and this heavy wind, getting it open. But she's what a brave lady. What a brave group, you know. Dennis, Lisa, Beverly, Julian, Armand. Even Ben, who's not here, that's how brave he is. Ben's on this other job for a month.
Yes, he is.
I'm sure he's regretting it. 212-957-2729. So among the mistakes that we make in life, can you imagine moments of madness that result in changing your entire life? Things like murderous adultery or madness or fatal imprudence or involuntary crimes of love or slaying somebody or fighting something. You know, it's such a horrible series of things that could possibly happen. 212-957-2729. Let's say hello to V. Hi, V. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Yes, hi, Mr. Armand.
Hi there, Miss V.
V, yes. The reason I'm calling is because I tend to find myself in multiple relationships at one time, and both sides seem to be over needy of my attention. And at one point I thought I got rid of that, only to find myself in another relationship. And this time it's worse. It's like with two brothers. And I didn't know that they were brothers until, like, after a year.
So now you have a relationship with two different men and they're brothers?
Yes.
And they know each other? I mean, they know that you have the relationship with each one of them?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Okay, so you're dating both?
I think I'm dating one of them, but they both tend to, like they're in love. But I don't know, I tried to tell one of them that, you know, I only know them by, like one of them by the voice. I met the second brother, and I said, my God, your voices sound identical. And he says, oh, I even told him the name of the person. And I didn't even know they were related.
Well, one wonders if you have to know or not. You know, here you are doing one of the classic Shakespearean problems, being in love with two kin, or possibly, or they're in love with you. How unusual a situation, and there's some part of you that's enjoying playing in the middle of this. What's the good news? What's the good news of it?
I never knew I was in the middle of anything until recently.
Yeah, maybe you were never that important as a kid. Were you one of many children?
No, I'm the baby.
You're the baby. Were you important to everybody?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you like being the baby?
I loved it.
Okay, and are you the baby now?
Didn't you say baby?
Yeah,
you mean like in...
Like baby.
Attention to other people?
Yeah.
Yeah, they demand my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to cuddle and nurture people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I have a lot of that.
So why don't we call you V? We could call you, instead of V, we'll call you Baby.
Or Cuddles.
Or Cuddles. Cuddles is your nickname, isn't it?
Yeah.
I imagine. So when you think of yourself, Cuddles, as Cuddles, and you think of yourself that you offer yourself out there in the world to people as a cuddle,
yeah,
you know, and you say, well, this is what I want to be because this is the way I am. And isn't it amazing how I get myself caught in situations where I have two brothers who might or might not know that they are both in love with me. And it's an unusual situation, but at least I'm the center of attention and I'm everybody's baby. Not such a bad strategy.
It's what?
It's not such a bad strategy.
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's just that I'm a nurturer. I like to nurture people, those who are less fortunate than myself.
Well, I'm glad you do. I want to thank you for calling in.
Yes, and I thank God for my mother and my father, because that's where I got mine from.
Yeah, your mother and father did give you a bunch.
Yes, they did, and what I have, I give to others when I can.
917-957-27... Oh, I'm sorry, not 917, 212. 957-2729. We have time for one more phone call. 212-957-2729. Very interesting, dramatic situation. So the name of the book is Polti, P-O-L-T-I. 21...
No, it's 36 Dramatic Situations.
Dramatic Situations.
By George with an S at the end, Polti. Yeah, it's a classic book. It was written quite a while ago, actually.
Uh-huh, yeah. Great teaching material, great stuff. And we have just enough time for Anthony. Hi, Anthony, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Anthony?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, good. Nice to hear from you.
I really called to ask a question which was on my mind, having a discussion with someone else. And I just really was, it wasn't about myself, but I just really wanted your opinion on Mike Tyson. And whether he could have a normal relationship with people. You know, I don't know if you know much about how he grew up and, you know, in Brooklyn and so forth, but I'm sure you know a little bit about his history. I was wondering what your professional opinion on him was, whether he can have, like, a normal relationship with people.
That's an interesting thing. Yeah. But wait a minute. Wait.
Go ahead.
Anthony, let me ask you a question, you know?
Sure.
Normal relationship meaning what? Mike Tyson is not a regular human.
Okay.
See, he's not a regular human. He's kind of, you know, either you consider him to be a gladiator, or you consider him to be an anomaly. Uh-huh. But he's no normal guy.
Okay.
So if he's not a regular guy, so he can't have what we call a regular anything.
Okay.
If you want for him, do you want to know if someone like him, or do we want to take this even better? Is
okay.
the Mike Tyson inside Anthony asking the question, can I ever be loved? Now, what's the Mike Tyson inside of you? The tough that's just, the side that's just too tough?
Well, I would say Mike Tyson inside of me. Wow. I'm saying Mike Tyson is just so exceptionally talented with his hands. You know, he's just he's on the world class that nobody else is on. I mean, I'm sure everybody agrees with that. But inside of me, drive to be the best, I could say that we have in common, possibly.
And do you think your drive and your ambition and your toughness stops you from being loved the way that you would also like to be loved?
Yes.
That's what I hear you saying. Yes. So we're not asking about Mike Tyson. We're asking about Anthony. And Anthony, you've gone a long way up until now. And the question is, what would separate you from getting the love you want? And the one thing that would separate you is the tear. And it's funny, doesn't Mike Tyson have a tear tattooed on his eye?
I'm sure, yes.
That's right. It's the missing tear that you need. You need that tear to soften up. He needs it so much, he painted it on. You know? So there's a you inside there that just needs to be able to feel a little more softly, and with that you'll find your safety and you'll find the love that you're looking for. It's nice to talk to you. I've got to get going,
Anthony. Thank you. Great show. Thank you.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We have to be going. You can get a copy of today's program by going to thepositivemind.com. We can grab it immediately off WBAI.org. We will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with Ben and Julian. Go further into this. You've been beautiful people. Nice to talk to you. Special thanks to Dennis, Lisa, Beverly, B, Anthony, and Mike. Send me an email, would you, at armand@thepositivemind.com.